理课堂听 class.com。
Thawing of the Cold War, the 1970s to 2001. American Cold War policy ensued until the early 1970s, when some major changes in thinking were inaugurated. Communist China's entry to the United Nations was a setback for the United States. The Vietnam War was not going well. In the early 1970s, American President Nixon, the arch-conservative and anti-communist president up to that point, was preparing to visit China and the Soviet Union. Why would an American president visit these enemies? The Americans came to the realization that the development of good relations with its counterparts in the communist world was necessary. A forthcoming, more pragmatic approach to foreign policy with China was to be a departure from the adverse ideological approach. The United States had lost solid backing from traditional supporters, as illustrated by Communist China's entry into the United Nations. The question as to whether Nationalist China or the People's Republic of China should hold China's permanent Security Council seat was a topic of much discussion and debate for years. For many countries, the idea of ignoring one-third of the world's population at the UN was difficult to rationalize. This debate ensued until 1971, when the People's Republic of China finally displaced Nationalist China at the United Nations, including the permanent seat originally held by Nationalist China in the Security Council. A baffled United States could no longer persuade nor intimidate the majority of the countries in the UN General Assembly to keep Communist China out of the UN. The United States had little choice but to eventually extend official recognition to the People's Republic of China. The war-weary American people were no longer supporting the war in Vietnam and no longer eagerly supporting traditional foreign policy. A major scandal, Watergate, that would rock the Nixon administration to the resultant resignation of the president was about to be disclosed. Practical solutions were needed for practical problems. Peaceful coexistence meant finding some common ground on which to activate international trust and cooperation. Nixon's consecutive predecessors, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Johnson, would have rolled over in their graves if they could have seen these changes. These changes would have appeared alien, contradictory, or even contrived to them and their contemporaries. Presidents Ford, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton saw the need to keep communication channels open with China. Americans finally realized that they could no longer keep down a sleeping giant. No longer a paper tiger, China was a reality, and was entitled to an important place in world decision-making venues. In the 1980s, following the Cultural Revolution and the death of Mao Zedong, China's outlook on the world changed dramatically. Deng Xiaoping's reforms were to bring China closer to being a major world partner in international trade and the development of world markets. This was capped with its admission to the World Trade Organization, WTO, in December 2001. China has been most willing to comply with all the regulations of the WTO. Americans have only half-heartedly opposed China's entry by unfairly using human rights as a distraction to perhaps disguise other international pressures. However, the United States, for a couple of decades, already had major, politically discrete, vested economic interests in China that it could not afford to deny or jeopardize. In 1998, China signed a permanent normal trading relations agreement with the United States, the prelude to the former's entry into the WTO. President Clinton, who visited China in 1998, had essentially paid lip service to congressional pressure to push the human rights issues with China. Except for the occasional irritating crisis in recent years, such as the spy plane incident off the island of Hainan in April 2001, Sino-American relations have been cordial but cautious. The consensus seems to be that China's destiny as a major international force in the 21st century seems reasonably assured.